Thank you for listening to Radio Bulgaria's podcast.
An amazingly restful experience where cowbells and goat bells gently passing by to field in the morning set the rhythm of the day and again herald the evening. Delicious homemade cheese, yogurt, bread and bacon, which make breakfast a visual delight of color and freshness. There are a few places left where there is such an incredibly intact knowledge of traditional crafts and farming life. And Claire and Chris Cotia know the village so well that they can arrange all kinds of interesting information and excursions. In one word, a perfect example of eco-friendly tourism and how it can benefit the local area, a peaceful slice of Bulgarian village life. These wonderful words, dear friends, come from a commentary from TripAdvisor from only one of the already numerous guests to the Wild Thyme Eco Farm and Guest House. This place is located in an inconspicuous village in northeastern Bulgaria. The village of Palomarca is the name, where, despite all odds, a British couple shows us how it can be done, how we can achieve our dreams and bring them to life when we put our heart in what we are doing. Archaeologists by profession back home in the United Kingdom, Chris and Claire arrived to Bulgaria several years ago and stayed, drawn by the possibility to live a life in the slow lane, as they call it, governed by what nature calls. And listen next to a phone interview Chris and Claire were so kind to give for Radio Bulgaria.
Organic farm. We grow our own vegetables and we keep animals, and we have an eco guest house, which is solar powered, so it has solar electricity, solar water, and we try to minimize our harm to the environment, living very much at peace with nature.
What's your connection to Bulgaria? Why did you decide to come to our country and make this project run in this country? When was the first time you came here? What made you stay?
Hi, Rossi.
Hi, Chris. It's a pleasure to have you.
Chris here. We wanted a different life. We were living in the UK. We had an idea. We wanted to have a small farm and make our own food.
But were you engaged in a similar activity back in the UK?
No. We had normal jobs. We were both archaeologists in the UK, working 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Initially, we volunteered in organic farms in France for 6 months. And we kept meeting people who were from Bulgaria, or else they'd been to Bulgaria, and they were all telling us how great it was and how some of the traditional skills of small-scale farming had survived, were still alive in the villages.
Yes, well, when was that? Which year?
That was 2010, 3-4 years ago. So we decided, well, let's go and see for ourselves. So we had a camper van and we drove across Europe, and we had organized various volunteer placements in Bulgaria. But the first place we came to was Palomarca, this village, and we didn't leave.
Why did you go there? Were there other British expats who invited you to this place?
Yeah, there was a couple here who had come maybe 2 years before, and they had a small farm going. So we were volunteering with them, helping them look after the animals. And we fell in love with the village and decided to stay. So we bought a house, and initially it was just to have some animals and look after the garden, and the house next door we ended up buying, and it was a very nice old house, but it hadn't been lived in for maybe 20 years. So we decided to renovate the house and slowly decided, well, it would be a good idea to have it as a guest house, but the guest house idea wasn't the original plan.
When did you start inviting guests to your place?
2 years ago. But this is this current year is our second year open as a guest house.
So it's a really new thing you're doing. Do you see a growing interest? Are people getting to know about your place?
Yeah, they are. We're getting more inquiries. and more bookings. Certainly this year we're busier than we were last year. For example, we have two women who live in Bucharest. They work in Bucharest, and one of them is French and one of them is Chilean. And they like it so much, they've been here 5 times now.
Mm-hmm.
They use it as a weekend retreat, mainly mm-hmm. through word of mouth, but also we were lucky to be in the Guardian newspaper. That was good publicity for us in the UK.
It's a wonderful article there, presenting several similar places in Bulgaria. But what is it that you offer on the wild thyme that makes it different from other similar places? What's life in the slow lane, as you call it on your website? How would you describe a typical day of a guest?
I think for us, we're really focused on just getting away from it all and relaxing. So our guests typically get up in the morning and have a breakfast cooked from our farm produce. We make our own bacon, we make our own sausages, we make our own cheese and bread.
So what comes next after this good, solid breakfast?
Well, it's interesting because people come for different reasons. You know, some people come because they are interested in archaeology, and so they might go off for a day trip with Chris, and we send them off with a packed lunch, and they'll visit one of the local archaeological sites. Chris has done a lot of research on, we have some amazing archaeology in this area. Some people come for the Reiki, so they might have a nice relax day just unwinding. Because it often takes time, if you live in the city and you're coming away, it often takes time to chill into the atmosphere which is here. And then other people like to learn some of the skills. So we also run workshops on making cheese, working with the animals. So we had a couple of chefs come from London, and they loved the whole process. They wanted to learn about, because they'd always worked with food, but seeing the process of planting the garden, right through to learning to actually kill an animal themselves and butcher it. So they were fascinated by that whole process. And you don't really often get the opportunity in the West anymore to be hands-on with food in that way.
So what kind of people come? Are they mostly Bulgarians or foreigners? From which countries?
They come from all over. So, for example, this year so far, we've had guests from France, Chile, Japan, England, Wales, Germany. So some people will come from England and stay for a week or 10 days. And then other people that are living in maybe Istanbul or Bucharest will come and just have a weekend here just to relax. And then we have people who come to the Black Sea coast and they want to experience some of, you know, the rural Bulgaria. We don't have so many Bulgarians that come at the moment. So maybe it's a kind of a new concept. Bulgarians that do come, they love it because it kind of, they say it reminds them of their granny's houses in the village when they were young. And
so how do the local people in Palomarca accept you? How did they react to this project?
They're really supportive and lovely. I mean, when we initially came to Bulgaria, we thought we would, you know, travel around the country and work on projects in different areas. But we came here and we love the lifestyle. We love that it's so traditional and that people still, the old woman especially, still have a lot of the skills to do everything themselves. They're very self-sufficient. And they just took us under their wing and treated us like their own children, shared and taught us everything that we know. And so we also work with local people. Chris plays the violin in the village band. Then we have Maria, who is a lady in the village who cooks for the guests. We have Stefan, who helps out with butchering animals and takes people foraging in the forest. And Yomir takes people out in the horse and cart. So really, you know, working very closely with people in the village as well, you know, just we feel very much a part of the community.
I'd like to ask you now, that's been more on the positive side, but what are the difficulties that an expat encounters living in Bulgaria? Which was most difficult to cope with? Was it the language, the people?
You know, it's important, you know, to learn the language. You know, that's a challenge, to learn the language and to discipline yourself to sit down and study. But it's, you know, for us it's essential. So to do that, to be part of the community and to be understood.
I think for the first 2 years, it was difficult not knowing the language, and it's taken us probably 2 years to learn it.
So did you study by yourselves?
Yeah, we studied with a book, but we also talked to the neighbours, two women who lived next door, and we couldn't understand a word, but they carried on speaking, and they would give us food and stuff. And each time we went in, we learned, we kind of knew a little bit more. And now we can talk to them freely, have a good conversation. I think that was the main difficulty.
The main difficulty.
Not knowing a language. And then organising the renovations of the house using local people is a challenge when you can only, you know, you have to learn quite quickly the words for different tools, especially because we wanted it to be renovated in an old, in a traditional way, when most of the workers really didn't know about the traditional way. They knew about the modern way.
So we had to ask the Babas for advice.
Yeah. So we had to kind of really insist that we didn't use cement.
So these traditionally renovated houses are one of the highlights of your place. But another highlight, and maybe what makes your place different than other similar ones in Bulgaria, are the archaeological tours. You said you're both archaeologists. But were you drawn to Bulgarian archaeology in particular, or your interest started here?
My interest in Bulgarian archaeology started here. When I was working in England, my archaeological work was all based in England, in British archaeology. But since coming here, we both have discovered the incredible archaeology that's here, particularly, I think, in this part of the country. Even though most of the tourist books we read focus on more famous sites like, you know, around Cousin Luck and the Rodopi, we did a lot of research on what kind of sites there were close to us within an hour's drive.
Yes, this is a less popular tourist area of Bulgaria. That's why I'm asking, what are the archaeological sites that you have chosen to take people to?
There's a lot. The most popular ones, I'd say, there's a reserve called Sporyanovo, which is near Isperich. It contains the Thracian tomb, Sveshtari tomb, which is a UNESCO World Heritage. But there's also a whole load of other Thracian remains there, and we go there quite often with people. Another one is Madara, where there is the stone carving of the horse.
Another UNESCO site.
Another UNESCO site, but also a load of other different periods there as well, Thracian stuff and Roman. People coming from Britain also love to see the Roman archaeology, because in Britain, although it was part of the Roman Empire, the remains are nowhere near as well preserved as they are here. So we go to Nicopolis, which is a great, well-preserved town. And also at Razgrad, quite near to us, only about 25 minutes, there are some good remains of the Roman town of Abrutus. I'll tell you what else. People coming from the UK also like to see relics of the communist period.
Yes, that's an interesting point.
And the monument, I don't know whether you've ever seen it, at Schumann, in there, is the most incredible monument that I've ever seen. It's so huge. Yeah, on top of the hill, you can see it for miles around.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that it's so near to sites like Pliska and Veliki Preslav.
Yes, the first capitals of Bulgaria.
Yeah, so sometimes we do a tour which includes either Pliska or Veliki Preslav, and then we go to Schumann and we see this monument and we talk about the relationship between the two. And also the mosque in Schumann was a great sight to see.
So did you work in collaboration with some Bulgarian historians to learn more about these sites, or you just read yourself?
Well, I talked to the archaeologist in Popovo Museum. We have a good relationship with them, the guy who runs the museum, and also there's an archaeologist who lives in Popovo who we talk to a lot. But mostly just self-taught through as many books I can find that are in English, because most of the stuff is obviously written in Bulgarian.
Yes, but your Bulgarian is still not good enough to read history books.
Not quite. I've tried, and it takes me a long time. Yeah, it's not easy. I've just about got through. There's a book about the history of our village written by the archaeologist in the museum in Popovo. And I've just about got through that.
Okay, so that's about fans of archaeology. And now on to Claire. I'd like to ask her a few words about the Reiki classes she's offering at the Wild Time. Is there interest in this? Because this is not such a popular technique in Bulgaria so far.
Well, I was surprised because when I first started talking to my neighbours about it, they had come across the concept. You know, it wasn't totally foreign concept, the notion of healing through the hands. They have tried it. I've given them treatment and they enjoyed it. They weren't completely against it, but we do mostly, I do Reiki treatments for our visitors that are coming here, but I've also taught in Varna.
And I saw also that you invite sometimes guest lecturers to give some classes.
The last few years we've had a family constellations workshop, which are very deep healing workshops, and we've worked with a Irish facilitator, but also a Bulgarian facilitator who teaches all over the country. And he has come and he has worked with a mixed group of Bulgarian people and non-Bulgarians here. And we're hoping that he will come again this September.
Oh, this September. So now here is the place to tell us more about what's coming up this summer on the Wild Time.
This summer. So it's in June. Mm-hmm. We're having a yoga and art retreat, and we work with an English couple who are an experienced yoga teacher, a professional artist. People come and do yoga, and they can do art, or they can choose between just doing yoga or just doing art.
And there's also a Bulgarian music course coming up at the end of July.
That's right, yeah. I'll give you over to Chris to talk to you about that.
Oh, fine.
I play the violin and I've been playing with the village orchestra for a couple of years, particularly with an accordion player called Mitko who lives in Popova. And he's just taught me. I didn't know any Bulgarian music before I came here and I cannot read music. He's just taught me by ear various songs. And we thought it would be great for people probably from America or UK or Western Europe to come with their instruments and spend a week here and each day learn a couple of new tunes and then at the end of the week play together as a group in public because I think there's a growing interest in Balkan music in the West.
So you are expecting a lot of participants, you're expecting interest in this course.
Yeah, we're expecting interest in the course, yeah. There are places still available. And so that's the music course. Claire wants to say something about Reiki.
Yeah, so we also have a few Reiki courses on this year as well. So there's one in Reiki 1 in July and then again in September. And we have a Reiki 2 in October and then a Reiki Master's course in November. Also ongoing are the archaeology tours that we run.
The season seems to be quite long there at your place.
We close at the end of October, the guest house. Yeah, so then early November we do the Masters in Reiki.
So why the Wild Time? Why this name?
One thing is that we like the sound of the name, but it's also, and the Wild Time is, you know, natural herb growing wild. But the other thing is the other meaning for it in English is having a wild time is like having a good time and having fun as well.
And at the end of the conversation, why do you think what you're doing is important? Why do you think people need such kind of places in the 21st century?
It shows that if you have a passion about something and a belief in something, that it is possible. And that, you know, sometimes we are afraid of living our dreams, that we think it's not possible. So, that's one part of it. Another is that I think in the West for a long time we've had a lot of materialism and, you know, working very long hours and very hard and having money, but it doesn't always bring happiness. So this is really a return to a simpler way of life where we have a better quality of life, where we make our own food ourselves. And it's kind of empowering that you can do things yourself, that you're not reliant like supermarkets or shops.
Yes.
Those are the important aspects for me. I don't know if Chris wants to add anything.
Yes, Chris, from you.
I think that's true for me as well. There's so many people in, certainly in the UK, who are not happy in the work they're doing, the lives they're leading, and they're looking for an alternative to the kind of consumerist society, and I think this gives them at least the idea that it can be done.
Thank you for joining Radio Bulgaria's podcast. You can listen to Bulgarian music around the clock via our two streaming channels. And also you can follow the latest updates and news stories at bnr.bg/English. Soon also available for mobile devices.